Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Real World Talks with Lourdes, Natalie, and Kathy. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
On today's episode, we have the president and CEO of the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association and one of our very own members of the Chaplain School of Hospitality and Tourism Management's Executive Advisory Board, Wendy Kalurgis. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. With pleasure. I love speaking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Wendy. And for our listeners, can you please share your background and what your current role entails?
Sure. So I actually grew up in Maine, and my family on both sides, my mother's side and my father's side, were involved in somehow in the food and beverage business. My mom grew up in Boston. Her father and cousin had restaurants, and they had a bar, and then my dad started, my dad and his brother and his dad started a grocery store in Maine. So then we had two restaurants in my hometown of Bangor, Maine. Well, one was in Bangor with the supermarket, and then the other one was in Bar Harbor, Maine, where Acadia National Park is. So it was a beautiful, big 200-seat restaurant that opened in May for the tourists and closed in October. So it was really fun to work. I started work when I was like 11 years old. I was a bus girl in my dad's restaurant, and I also worked in the grocery store. But really, I had from my mother and my grandmother and my aunts a real fondness of cooking. And I really wanted to cook professionally. So I had the opportunity to go. I studied at GW, George Washington University. I majored in French language and literature, and had the opportunity to study my junior year abroad in Paris. So when I was in Paris, I attended also the Cordon Bleu School and L'École de Cuisine while I was there. So that was like my first taste of, you know, cooking school. And then a few years later, I went back to France and studied with a French chef who had a very successful restaurant cooking school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Her name was Madeleine Caman. And she had a school in France, just six students, where we were there for 6 months in Annecy, France, which is an hour from Geneva, beautiful town with the lake and Mont Blanc in the background. And she taught us French cooking. We started, you know, really, and I tell kids now, if you want to be a chef, you want to learn the basics of classical French cuisine. So I, from there, I was in catering. I got to fast forward. When I moved to Miami over 30 years ago, it wasn't the Miami that it is now. It was very quiet with the industry. There weren't a lot of hotels. There weren't a lot of restaurants. But I did manage to get a job at what's now the Intercontinental Hotel. It was called the Pavillon Hotel. And they had a French restaurant. So I was a sous chef there for a while. And the hotel ended up, you know, it was kind of ahead of its time back then, because downtown Miami was a very scary place to go. And to, like, I had to get escorted to my car at night. Oh. It wasn't a great area, right? Think of it and look at it now. It's so incredible. But, you know, got into cooking there. And then I worked with the off-premise catering company, a couple of those. And then I got interested in catering, working in a hotel. So I was able to get a great job at the Biltmore Hotel. Just to fast forward again, because I'm older now, so my career takes a long time to talk about. I'm just kidding. So I was director of catering at the Biltmore Hotel, the Grand Bay Hotel, which was a 5-star Chica hotel in Coconut Grove. That's no longer there, unfortunately. But in the Mayfair Hotel, I also was director of catering. I went to, I had the opportunity to be at the Open Delano as food and beverage director, which was an Ian Schrager hotel. It was a great experience. And then I went back to the Biltmore. I also worked at the Intercontinental, and Lee Schrager was my boss. He was the director of catering. So I got to work with him, which was amazing. And we did all the galas, and it was just so much fun. And then I ended up getting my first Monday through Friday job, because all my jobs were all, I worked all the time. It was just, you know, busy, busy, busy. And I ended up running the Miami City Club, The Miami City Club was a private executive dining club downtown. It was on the 55th floor of the Southeast Financial Center. And what was great about it was all the business leaders, the CEOs, the FIU was a member, Miami-Dade College was a member. I mean, it was the place to go for, in particular, lunch. It was a big lunch club, and we also did parties there. So that was a great opportunity. And then I was president of Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce after that. And then I liked the job, that being president of the chamber. I was kind of missing my industry, you know, the hotel industry, the hospitality industry. So my predecessor retired, and this is over 10 years ago now, you guys. It's crazy. Wow. So he retired, and I applied for the job, and I got it. So I've been doing that over 10 years now, and it's just a great job because I'm back, I'm in my industry, and as you know, very involved with the schools and education and internships. So I'm just really delighted to be in this job.
Aww. Delighted to have you.
We appreciate the partnership, Wendy. You know, we are always collaborating and working together, and we're so appreciative of you connecting us.
With pleasure. Yeah, we have a lot, and we have a lot we can do this upcoming year, too.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes, very. So you spoke a little bit about your role and even your background. Can you tell us, how do you avoid being complacent in your role?
So it's hard for me to be complacent. I think I'm a very like hyper. I'm very I try not to let that happen to me. And I think that what I do is especially right now. Are you talking about like right now during the virus or
just in general?
I entertain myself. I think I like to be around positive people, and I think that's what's great about our industry too, is we have opportunities to do so many things. So cooking relaxes me. I love to cook. I think that's a good thing, and listening to music, and I like to take long walks. And then during this time, the Zooms really keep me up, because I'm a people person and I miss seeing everybody. So I think it's really good. But I can really, you know, distract myself if I need to.
Awesome.
So Wendy, I know we talked a little bit about kind of what's going on. You know, you mentioned just right now with the pandemic, and you know just as well as we do that the pandemic has really affected our industry, the tourism industry, really tremendously. And I know that, you know, within South Florida, the industry, everyone's trying to do so many things to kind of kick back the industry, let's say. What steps is the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotels Association taking right now to help the industry recover?
Yeah, nobody knew what to do, right? In the beginning, we were like, what? What's going on, you know? So we got very, very involved with government, with, in particular, Miami-Dade County Mayor Jimenez created a task force, our hotel task force. So we were involved, and we had a lot of our hotel GMs as partners. I know FIU was involved as well. And really, how do we, you know, everybody was closed, everybody was closed. How do we reopen? How do we, you know, what kind of guidelines do we have? And we worked very closely with him and others to really put together the guidelines to help him for the new normal, which was the new normal I say a book because I call it the book that the county has created on all the different industries, including schools and everything like that. But mind you, think about all the employees that have lost their jobs. I mean, I think our industry, including the airlines, the cruise lines, has been the hardest hit. I mean, we were just on a webinar yesterday where thousands of employees still are out of jobs, out of work, laid off, furloughed. So really happy to share with you that we just recently worked together with Miami-Dade College as well as with FIU on two different grant reliefs, relief funds, which is really great. Miami-Dade College is a fund that is going to help for initially 2,500 employees. Okay, doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a fund that can you know, we get reinvigorated with money. So this is a $1,000 stipend to the employee, right? But what comes with it is a 2-day virtual training. So the employee, because we're not sure if we're going to be able to bring back all the employees at once. I think it's going to be hard. So this is that career building, resume writing, also other opportunities for other jobs. You know, there are other jobs out there, as you all know, available. So that's right now where we're going to be sent. This week we're sending out the information. While it doesn't sound like a lot of employees, I'm confident that we'll be able to get more funding for that. So that was through a fund that the county had. The other one that we're really excited about is when Sobey Wine and Food Festival came out with the restaurant fund. You remember the restaurant relief fund? At that time, the hotel restaurants weren't involved. They weren't included because this was for independent restaurants. And so now we have the fund again, you know, that just launched again through United Way. And we were able to get hotel restaurant employees to participate in that fund. I also have a call this week with Baptist because we're going to look at workshops on mental health, coping with, you know, the virus. I mean, a lot of people are very depressed, you know, both mom and dad don't have jobs. The kids are virtually learning right at home. It's just very stressful. They don't have money. So we want to help them with different, our hotel HR directors want us to put together a workshop series to help everybody get through this time, because the longer it lingers, it's hard. It's really challenging, you know? And then also our partnership with FIU and the GMCVB on all the webinars we've been having have been amazing. We've had a lot of webinars because it's good to get the members engaged. You know, our members are having a tough time, especially like the small businesses, the hotels are having everybody's having a tough time. So the webinars get people out, like what we're doing today. We're talking to each other to really see how we can help each other. And so, you know, moving forward, we're going to continue to do what we're doing. We're hoping, because we do a lot of events, right, throughout the year. We're hoping to be able to do something this fall. We usually do an event called Celebrating Our Hotels. So what we want to do is celebrate our hotels on what they're doing for COVID-19. So I think that would be really fun, whether it's part virtual, part, you know, we're a people industry. We want to see each other and be together.
Yeah, I love that.
So we'll continue. Like, I mean, there's so much more we can do. You know, I mean, I think just as we evolve, we just want to get these hotels back open. And even if they can't open fully, we want them to get, you know, back open so they can bring back the employees. Some are open, but it's still very slow until the virus, I think, gets to where we need it to be. And travel slow, as you know, the flights, there's very few flights, you know, right now, and we rely on the airlines.
Yes. So you mentioned because of COVID-19, our industry was like hit the hardest. Many of us were furloughed and laid off. And some students are very like hesitant to even pursue going into the industry. What would you say to students concerned about the tourism industry and are hesitant to pursue a role within it?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about every industry, right? I mean, it's not just hospitality, but I think the hospitality is going to come back very positively. There's also a lot of different, there's also many opportunities, different opportunities, like with technology, you know, for the students. There's so much, I mean, we're evolving already. I mean, there's different brands doing different things. I don't think and I know what you're saying, but I don't think that, I think they should definitely pursue hospitality and tourism because it's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. Like we have a series with FIU, with Mike Hampton. I think it's four different technology sector series for hospitality. So I think right now, because we're not able to go everywhere, you know, that we want to go, I think that's probably, but it's kind of every industry is affected like that. So I'm excited about what's happening with hospitality. I think I think what they're doing, the brands are doing with COVID and with the technology. I went to a new hotel, Thesis, which just opened, brand new hotel, and everything. It was amazing. I mean, I walked through it, and I'm not going out that much, but I went in. They have one person come at a time. They're showing them the hotel. They just opened, and you know, everything is, you know, you don't have to worry about touching anything. It's just very cool, the technology and what's taking place. So I don't think, I think because we're such a people business and we're close to each other, I think that's probably what maybe makes them nervous, but there's so many different things that they can do. And you all have so many different sectors too. You have real estate, you have development, you know, all of that. You know what I mean? And just these little pop-up restaurants. Yeah, no, I think it's an exciting time for us as well. I really do.
Absolutely. And earlier, Wendy, you shared with us your background, which is fantastic. And you've done so many amazing things to get to where you are. So for our listeners, what advice would you give to women striving to develop in their current positions and their current roles?
I think hang out with other women, you know, because we're really pretty strong, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but we developed last year. We realized we had a lot of women GMs in Miami, and that's, you know, kind of unusual. And we have over 50 women general managers. So we started a group called WHIP. It's women. It's WHIP. It's Women Hoteliers Influencing Progress. And we actually have FIU women with us in that group. And I think that it's really, it's a fabulous industry for, you know, women to do a lot, as well as we're going to be working also on the multicultural, the people that, you know, but, you know, with all of this protesting and Black Lives Matter and everything, we realize we have, I think we have, okay, we have four, general managers that are Black. And then you look at the national data, it's low. It's very low on general managers. So yeah. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to also, especially with hospitality, to mentor and internship and for jobs and really elevate. Because we work a lot with the students, as you know, with the Academy of Hospitality and Tourism and culinary. So there's just a lot of opportunity for growth, I think, and to develop in this industry. I think we're one of the few that really are grabbing a hold of that for the last few years and really making a difference, you know?
Thank you definitely for sharing about that. I mean, I know for ourselves and those of us who work in the industry, like Lourdes and myself, that was a big thing for us, you know, is definitely seeing, I mean, we're all for the men as well too, but definitely to see more women in these high roles that, you know, in the past were more, I would say populated by men. So I'm glad to see the efforts that you guys are doing and working with like the Academy of Travel and Tourism and so forth like that. Now, kind of going back to the time that we're in within COVID-19, you talked about working with like Baptist Hospital and, you know, about providing services, not only just for, okay, employment, financial, but this is affecting many of us also, you know, emotionally, physically. So now kind of going with you, what brings you comfort in these tough times during COVID-19? And that could be a favorite meal to cook, or being with a special person, or something that you like to do that just makes you feel good and kind of, I would say, strengthens your spirits or so forth.
Yeah, no, and I have to tell you, it's been nice to be home. You know, I think it was last year, the year before, I redid my kitchen. So, you know, because I had a small old kitchen and we did a lot of work on the house. So I have this space. I actually, my designer, who's a friend of mine, said, I'm going to give you a desk in the kitchen. So this is actually like, what you see in the back is my desk here, and never knowing I would be working here for months, right? So it's really been nice to be at home with the family. It's you know, and cooking and eating at home, and I love the grocery delivery. I think that it just makes you feel good, and it's so funny. I'm craving like things that I ate when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of funny, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, peanut butter with banana. We're making chocolate chip cookies. I'm doing cooking, you know, I'm thinking of things that my mom used to make, grilled cheese sandwiches, you know, all this stuff that potato chips, you know. It's so funny. It's kind of, and it is comforting. And I think the other thing I did, which was really fun, is I did a Zoom with my girlfriends that I grew up with. So because we try to get together in Maine in the summer, and because some of them still live there, and I try to go up, and that's, we only see each other like once a year, right? But now we do Zooms, and it's just, it's so much fun. And then I have a friend who I went to high school with, Terry Haney, and we haven't seen each other since high school. Okay, so I'm 63 years old, so you can do the math. And he's been the general manager at a fabulous property out in San Francisco called the Presidio. And we've been talking, like, you know, and we're going to do a Zoom on Friday. So we're actually going to plan a Zoom together with his, what I do here in Miami, with the San Francisco Hotel Council president. We're going to have a Zoom like in the next couple of weeks. So I've really, you know what it is? It's easy to reach out to people right now, you know, and with a lot of these webinars where you have, you know, incredible industry executives from Marriott and Hilton on these webinars, it's just, I think it's been real, and that's great for the students. And all the webinars are recorded too, so by the way. So that's really great for the students. So it's really, there's been some advantages too to just having this technology. And also everybody seems to have time to talk, you know, and to exchange thoughts and ideas and everything.
No, I'm glad that you're sharing that. It's funny. I think that at the beginning, we were all like talking about how much we were baking and cooking. I told the ladies, mine came back with payback. You know, my doctor recently sent me a message and said, you need to slow down on whatever you're doing. But it was fun because I was thinking of that. We're talking about things that make us happy. So, you know, it was the baking and like the cooking and getting together. But it's glad to hear that, you know, what you're doing, but also how the industry is definitely taking advantage of now our new normal of like Zooming and things like that to keep the engagement going with each other, you know, professionally and also, you know, personally, that we also need that. Now, kind of going back into the industry, obviously, you know, you're a really great partner with our school. And directly in our office, we work with our students, helping them to get started in the industry, also then continue the momentum, you know, all the way up to graduation. What would be some practical advice that you would give to some of our newcomers who just started out in our program that want to get going in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, they have to be really be professional. You know, they have to, you know, because a lot of times, you know, now people don't have to see what you're wearing unless you're on a Zoom. Or, you know, I think that's very important. Also, be very confident. You know, just confident. It's not. I think also that it's kind of comforting to be in your own space and then talking to people. It's much easier than if you were doing it live, right? Because I'm sure some of the students are shy or nervous or scared or, you know, and I think that to just be positive, you know, be positive. I mean, everybody, the thing is we're all going through this. We all have friends that have COVID. A lot of us have friends that know someone that has died, you know, at least one or two people. I mean, it's like, it's all over the world too. So, you know, even with our students from abroad, it's everywhere, you know. And I think the interesting thing to talk also about is those that are abroad, you know, from other countries, you know, we read what Europe's doing. We read, you know, what all the other countries are doing, but it's an interesting exchange of ideas and thoughts on how they recovered faster than we did. A lot of countries recovered faster than we did, you know. So I just think that, you have to get up and get dressed and go to your desk, whether the desk is a kitchen table or whatever it is. You know, you can be outside if you want, but you just have to be excited. Get excited. And by the way, I mean, I know you know this, and we've talked about this. Anytime we can help, you know, with the students, I'm sure we're going to probably set up some webinars with them and motivate them and get them excited too. But they shouldn't be worried or scared or anything. I think there's a lot of opportunity coming out of this, a lot of opportunity.
Absolutely. So my next question for you, Wendy, is a little fun.
Some of these were a little interesting.
Yes. So So if you had the option to have dinner with three individuals, living or deceased, who would they be and why?
Okay, this question is very interesting because years ago, I can't remember when, but years ago, we talked about this. Someone posed that question before, and it was very hard. And now today, it's very easy. I was really delighted to see it because I was like, I like this question.
Oh,
okay. So this is a mixed bag. So my dad unfortunately got Alzheimer's in his early 60s, and at that time we didn't even know what Alzheimer's was. Yeah. And he was not able to walk me down the aisle for my wedding, and so I feel like I miss some opportunities. And so my father, Paul McCartney, because I love Paul McCartney. Oh. I love the Beatles. I have a picture of Paul McCartney. The only picture on my refrigerator was Paul McCartney.
Stop. Oh my gosh.
I just love the Beatles, and I love Paul, and he's great, and he's doing so many wonderful things now too. I mean, he's very vocal. He's got a great great social media. And Michelle Obama. So the three of them, and also I think the three of them together would be very cool. You know, that was a nice thought. I thank you for that question.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So you shared a little bit about your background and your role, but I wanted to know, what is one thing no one knows about you, like the general public?
I'm not a great swimmer. And I want to be better. I'm a little afraid of the deep water, and I used to snow ski. I want someone to teach me how to, because I can just, it's just not great, my swimming. And I know it's also great exercise, and you know, and so I have a kickboard and stuff, but I really want to learn how to swim.
Me and you both.
Me three.
Right? Maybe that's a trend.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes. I was actually, I attended one of your previous sessions, and I know that I was looking for an answer of you making like your own little book.
Oh yeah. Did you see my book?
Yes. So Kathy.
Okay. Now this is funny. Cause when I first moved here, I actually, and I forgot to mention, because it was just kind of a side hobby, there was a cooking school in South Miami called Bobby and Carol's, and then Ariana's, and I taught cooking classes. So that was really fun. So what I did was I kind of like saved all of the recipes, and then I had recipes of my mom's, and then, you know, I have a bunch of recipes. So in 2015... for my kids, and I'm not really good at technology, but I put this together. I'm very proud of myself. I went to like FedEx, right? I had all these like recipes.
Aww. Right?
And I put together a book for them, for my kids, for my son and daughter.
I love that. My mom did the same thing too. My mom has her own little like recipe book.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because she actually cut out old recipes. My grandmother was from Cuba, and she hand wrote recipes in Spanish.
I have a bunch. I have a bunch of those that I'm going to make. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make copies of that. And our cousins and my brother, and we always exchange, you know, recipes. This is the back of the pictures of
there. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, I love recipes too. And different, my mom always put postcards and recipes in her cookbooks. So now that I have most of her cookbooks with, you know, here, whenever I look for it at a recipe, a postcard comes out. You know, it's so funny. Aww. And it's like for me and my brother when we were studying abroad, or my sister when she was out in California, and it's a riot. You know, I think we should write postcards. Right?
Yes.
I remember the age of like my family and I going on our family trips, and then my mom always picking a postcard from each spot, and then yeah. One will be for us to keep for memories in like the little old school photo album. Yeah. And the other one will be like to one that she'll send to my grandparents or someone that wasn't able to come along. And it's funny that you said that really quickly. My son the other day, he's so amused about photo albums because everything right now in this world is digital. So show it through my phone or pop up on my computer. So he keeps telling my mom, he's like, can you show me that old pictures? Because he likes the turning of the pages and things like that.
I know. I have a bunch of photos. I keep saying this is my project. I haven't had a minute to do it, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a lull, but I have boxes of photos that I want to put in. I got these little plastic boxes, right, to put that hold like 100 photos. So then I'm just going to label it. I'll say Maine. I was when I was 10 or whatever, you know, just to label it. So, and I have a lot now. The older you get, you get photos of your parents and your grandparents and stuff like that, you know, and it's, yeah, I know. I still print some photos too. Yeah.
So going back to your cookbook and also with your great culinary experience, I'd love to hear about that amazing time that you had in Paris, learning the French cooking technique. What is your favorite meal to cook?
So, I have to confess, I love veal. A lot of people don't eat it anymore, but I happen to love. I was not in cooking school, in both schools. I had to make puff pastry. I was so scared to death. That was a scary time. Making puff pastry is not easy. But I'm more of a savory chef. I do desserts, but I, you know, my pastry is kind of like a little sloppy and everything. It's delicious, but it's sloppy. But I love to cook stews. Because I love that process of, you know, not, you know, watching, you know, constantly putting a little bit more wine or, you know, anchovy, fresh herbs and as it's cooking. I just love that process. And I like to cook a lot of fish soups and chowders and stuff because with fish, you can do it. You can, whatever's good at the, you know, people say, well, what do you want to make? I got to go look at what's at the store. You got to look at what's fresh, you know, and just because to me, you know, a great fish soup can be a great meal. And then I always have like a little cognac or rum or something to put in the soup, you know, so that people can put it in if they like it. It just finishes it. I like sauces, vegetables, obviously, but I like things that you have to kind of, it might be the mother in me. You just want to keep stirring it and getting it to where you want it. Coq au vin, I like to make coq au vin, which is chicken and red wine and with mushrooms and zucchini and garlic and herbs. It's such a nice, it's a nice dish. Yeah, beef bourguignon. My first exam was veal. This was at Cordon Bleu where I was so nervous. It's called Veau Marengo, which is a veal stew. And I was just I was a nervous wreck. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's great. And it's been good to be able to look at, I've got a ton of cookbooks. They're up here. I should show them to you. Let me see. Let me see if I can show you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's three sections there. And there are two shelves and stuff. So I have a lot of my books there.
Nice. So, Wendy, some people look back in their lives and say to themselves, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that differently. And then some people think everything happens for a reason and don't really have any regrets. So I wanted to know, do you have any regrets in your life experience?
I mean, this is very personal, but I wish I had been with my dad when he passed away. He was in a home at the time, at a nursing home with Alzheimer's in bad shape. I also wish I had been with my mom when she passed away. My mom died very suddenly. I talked to her on the phone the day before and she had a stroke and she was shoveling snow. She was a very active woman. And she, you know, the good news is that I spoke to her the day before, you know, and not even knowing. And then when my sister died of cancer, I visited her. She had brain cancer and I was here in Miami and I would visit her, a lot. I would go up to Maine and then, the last time I was with her, I knew in my heart it was the last time because she had remarried, she had a wonderful husband taking care of her. And I felt like that's the last time, because I knew if David, her husband, he said, if you're welcome to come, she's just, you know, she only has like 5 days and stuff. And, but I didn't, I decided not to go because I had said goodbye. You know, we spent some, but I kind of like regret, I don't know. It's kind of weird because I was so scared of death when I was younger. You know, we didn't have a lot of people in our family that were sick or anything. So until later, obviously. And I was really, and my mom was in great shape. She, that's the way to go in 10 minutes. She just like that, you know? But I regret Alzheimer's is a really sick thing. It's just awful. It's just awful what it does to people. And I hope that we can get a cure for that, and also a cure for brain cancer, and also, you know, a cure for heart disease. But my mom lived a great life. I mean, she was very vibrant even the day before, you know. I mean, she was getting ready to go in her car to take a drive. So that's the way to go. But I do wish I just kind of want to be there when that happens, because I know it's probably scary, so scary, right?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Wendy. So transitioning back over to the workforce, at least for me, one of my biggest struggles throughout my time working has been the transition from going from working in a corporate setting to higher education. So I used to work at Carnival Cruise Lines, and everything was very corporate, and I really struggled with just transitioning over from that corporate mindset to just working in higher education, which is completely different. What would you say has been kind of your biggest struggle, and how did you learn from that struggle?
Let's see. Are you talking about a job in my career?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I did have one job, and it was a hotel job. And the ownership, it was a very trendy hotel company. And I say was because it's no longer, it's not around anymore. But the ownership, and I was the food and beverage director, and the ownership was very adamant on the employees being good looking. This is like really, you know, and that was kind of hard for me, because that was really hard. Since then, it's completely changed, because the company doesn't exist anymore, but it was bought, and it's, you know, it's completely changed, because we had no HR. We had no HR. So I think I was there like 11 months, but I left when I was asked to fire an employee that was not good looking or something.
Wow.
So that was hard. My biggest challenge professionally. I mean, I think this is a challenge right now, because, you know, we're all down in revenue. We're all, you know, you all know our events. We have great events. You know, we can't have our in-key, our hourly employee award event, which has 900 people. And I mean, it's like, it's such a great, it breaks my heart. But I'm just hoping that next year we're able to start, you know, doing some events again, you know, because I think that's really important, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We will call that to existence at definitely 2021, you know, we will definitely have a big, strong comeback. Mm-hmm. Now, if you could share with us and our listeners, what will you, I guess, think or consider your three proudest moments of your life? And that could be personal or professional or a combination of both.
So one of the professional, it's just wonderful. I was involved with a citizenship program out in Washington, D.C. called the New American Workforce. We were involved in the association and also across the country. And it was a program to promote citizenship, and it was free. So those that were eligible to become citizens, we worked with our hotels and the employees, and, you know, a lot of employees got citizenship. It was really great. It was great times. I will say Obama was president at the time, just FYI. But, and that was a really good time. And we were invited to the White House with other cities that were doing the same program, and we were honored there. And I thought that was really, that was a very exciting moment for us, for me. And then later, we in Miami, they did an event in Miami, and they honored me with an award for the work. And I was like, I was just like teary eyed, and just that was so emotional for me. So that's a really great moment. And I think having my kids, those are lots of incredible moments when you give birth. And we have two great kids, Nicholas and Catherine. And I mean, that was like just. Because I was scared to death with the first, with Nicholas, he's the oldest. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nervous Sunday. I want to be knocked out. You know, it was just, it's just an amazing, and I'm glad you're all women. We can talk, you know, it's just an amazing moment in my life and getting married too. We had a great wedding, Nick and I, and it's just great. We're all in Miami, which is great too.
Yeah. Awesome. Now going back to a fun question, I wanted to know if you could be a cocktail or a drink, what would you be and why?
I have two.
Yes, of course.
So I was thinking during the day or in a Bloody Mary. But why? Because a Bloody Mary is so much fun because you can put different things in it. So, you know, years ago it used to be a celery stick, you know, now it's fennel. And now you can put carrots in it. You can put all these different things in it, even like the turnip and all that. So that to me is fun because it's kind of like a salad. It's a liquid salad, and it's a great drink too. You know, I think that's fun. And then in the evening, I think of Brandy Alexander because that's kind of really chic, you know, and classy, and it's got cream, which I like. I like cream drinks. I used to like sombreros too. I don't drink cream drinks anymore, and it's just very classy. You know, it's definitely after 5 o'clock little cocktail. Brandy Alexander.
Nice. Ooh. Nice choices.
I love that. So Wendy, to end our podcast with a bang. Imagine this scenario. You are walking down the street and you find a lottery ticket, and that lottery ticket, is worth $10 million. What would you do with the $10 million?
Okay. I started thinking, and then I'm like, wait, I'm running out of money. So, definitely give some to the kids, because I want them, you know, we're at the stage that we want to make sure, you know, we are set, you know, finding we'll be okay. And I think it's really important, you know, to either like set up a trust fund or something for the kids. I think that's really important. I'd like to also give some money back to Alzheimer's in my dad's name. And then also to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, where my sister got treatment in her name, and to help with research, because it's all about research, you know, and we've got to find cures for all this stuff. And then I'm very passionate about is and I've talked about it on the Dean's Advisory Council. I want to have a hotel run by students. So I think it can be a great program to start with FIU, with hospitality schools, because they have to know I think a lot of students, they don't want to work in hotels anymore, you know, and I'm kind of like, this has been going on in the last couple of years, and I'm like, they want to do different things. And I think the virus has actually accelerated some very innovative and creative topics in our hotels now. So there's a lot more than just running a hotel. And I think it would be great to you know, work with a developer and have it. I know that we have students working in the hotels, but I want it to be almost a pilot school educational piece of, whether it's FIU, Miami-Dade College, whatever, both, to have students actually getting their degree, you know, and by running the hotel and working in the hotel. And that could happen all over. You know, we can start it here and then do other things. And I love, you know, I think also getting involved in a cooking school would be fun because I do, I miss that. I miss the cooking school piece. And I think that would be fun. And then also take a big trip with my family. I don't know if I run out of money. I may have. Because the other thing we want to do is I do want to build like a cabin, a great cabin in Maine. So we can go there like in the summer and the fall and have another place to go.
Aww,
I don't know. I may have run out of money, but look.
That's okay. Nobody's counting. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, Wendy. We truly, truly, truly appreciate it. You are amazing. And thank you for being such a great partner to the school and to our community as well.
No, thank you. It's great to be with you all and reach out. Anything I can do for you and the students and you know that we're here for you. And I'm a big fan of Dean Chang and all the work that he's doing and also President Rosenberg. And, you know, we're involved with all different components of FIU too. So just stay, you know, if you want to call me, just call me. If you want to chat, if you want to set up anything with the students, let us know.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, definitely.
Bye, Wendy. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Real World Talks, and we will catch you all next week. Have an amazing week.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.